podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
One thing we can always rely on is Sydney being Sydney. You know, and every so often, you know, things get a little bit grim in the world and then you go, oh, at least we're not in Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, or from Sydney, even better. If you got out, well done.
Well done,
well
you.
Well done. Welcome to Geelong.
Yeah.
Give it 10 years and you might fit in. The guys that made Bondi Rescue.
Yeah.
They've got a new show that they're filming around Bondi. But they're doing it a bit differently. They're calling it a micro-reality series.
Yeah.
And it's going to have 1 to 2 minute episodes that will be on socials. And that's the show.
Okay. Right. And what? Because they've realised the attention spans have gotten so bad.
Yeah. Yum, yum, yum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Follows 8 young strivers navigating fitness, culture, entrepreneurship and relationships. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Do they all have veneers?
Yes.
Okay.
One of them is actually a veneer. One is just a big tooth.
One, just a big tooth.
Big tooth. Let me take you through the cast.
Oh.
30-year-old Marcus, a former British Army soldier who survived a near-fatal attack before becoming Australia's highest-paid male escort.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm interested. Sorry.
He's covered from tip to toe with tattoos. Like, just completely, apart from his face, everything else is tattooed.
Actually, that's an interesting story. Okay, you've hooked me.
He's joined by Sarah, 33. She's a former gymnast who's navigating unconventional career paths and non-monogamous relationships after the end of a long-term open partnership.
Okay, right.
Also featured is Henry, 27, a British coach. Why are they all Brits? He's a British coach who founded the Bondi Softies Run Club with the goal of becoming the fastest man on sand.
Okay, they're all Brits because they've come over and they cannot afford a rental. Mm. And they're like, you can all stay on the balcony in this apartment, which is covered by a tarp, if you do this show.
If you do this show.
Yeah.
Also features Henry. Oh, no, Henry we've done. Willow, she's 24, a vegan personal trainer and self-described gym addict who lost 20 kilos to spark her fitness journey.
Nice.
There's Maria, a 27-year-old Brazilian socialite who recently traded her corporate career for the pursuit of art in the high-energy Bondi grind.
There you go.
And finally, Ryan, 30, is also amongst the cast, a former mining mechanic and motocross racer who transitioned into life as a personal trainer.
Oh, after what's the going theme?
$25,000 failure in a skincare venture.
Mate, they're all your mates.
They're all, so it features fit and attractive people trying to navigate. Yeah.
They're all your friends.
Yeah, but they're mate. So,
they're all gym peeps.
And the reason it's been brought to my attention is they were filming on Bondi Beach and they had put a whole heap of signs up around where they were going to be filming. Yeah. I'm going to read you the sign, okay? Warning, filming in progress. Bondi-based micro-reality TV series Flex. We are filming a new series documenting the lives of 8 good-looking Bondi locals. If you enter this area, you may be captured on film. If you think you're fit and or attractive enough to get featured in the background, please make yourself known to our production team.
Oh, my God.
If you feel this isn't you, please stay out of the shot. We appreciate your patience and thank you for your cooperation. If you're not hot enough, stay off camera, you turd.
Yeah, they'll blur you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the ultimate? I mean, I was rated 4 once by a bunch of girls in grade 5.
Yeah.
That stayed with me. But I feel like that, if a micro-reality series came up to me and said, oh, babe, if you just want to...
get out of shot.
You just want to get out of shot.
Yeah.
That would do me.
That would...
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's their radio show in a podcast.
Let's do one of these.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! Love doing a crime club. If I watch a doco, listen to a podcast worth listening and watching, then I bring it to the club. Also, if it's not worth it.
Yeah, you tell us too. You don't want us to waste our time.
Don't want you to waste your time. I was on SBS On Demand or On Demand over the weekend. God, it's a good thing.
Oh, it
is
amazing,
isn't it? There's so much stuff on there. Honestly, it's made me think, damn, I really need to just recheck my finances when it comes to the streaming
services. Oh, because you don't need to. Yeah, so
well, between that ABC iView and then like the 10 plays and the 9 hours and the sevens, whatevers. Mm. You know what I mean? Like the ads sometimes are bad, I'll admit, on the nines and the tens and stuff. But on the SBS, I feel like there's only three things of ads.
Yeah, it's not too
and
bad.
That's it.
Yeah. I watch a lot of the sort of the abandoned engineering and the train ones, the old train lines that
don't exist
anymore. Yeah.
Well, I'll just tick that in your folder.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, this is about Australia that was once – okay, so it's called Australia's Biggest Con Man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Australia was once home to this elite rescue squad led by John Friedrich. A powerful man, he was hiding an extraordinary secret, and the council was the National Safety Council of Australia.
Story of overweening, astonishing ambition.
What John Friedrich did was build a fantasy with the best toys money could buy.
Fixed-wing planes, helicopters, the famous submarine.
John wanted it to be the best search and rescue organisation in the world.
Was there ever the question of how is this all being paid for?
Behind the question mark was another question mark.
He was quite brilliant. He was a crook.
Now, Mark Fennell hosts this one, presents it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a two-part series. They're both 45 minutes each. And if you don't know the name John Friedrich, then you might know his face. Like when you look at him, balding guy.
Mustache.
With a beard.
And beard.
Right? Yeah. And you're like, hang on a minute. And this story, I love it when there's docos where the story, it's like, you can't write this.
Mm.
Like truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And how people get away with stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So this story is based on the National Safety Council of Australia, which was absolutely huge. And you've got to think of it in terms of, okay, you know when you see like the Westpac chopper or whatever, or the NAB, whatever, chopper or whatever, and you're like, oh, wow, look at them doing stuff. Or when there's a fire and you have the big helicopters come in, the water bombers and all that. That's what they did.
Yeah.
But they weren't part of any government agency.
No, they worked with government agencies. I watched the first of the two episodes.
You have?
That's why I worked out what I'd seen and it wasn't that I tuned out, so that an episode ended and I never went back for the second episode. But yeah, so essentially that was the situation where, you know, Australian emergency services couldn't stretch as far. And so this guy was like, all right, well, I'm going to start one. And or he came to power in one that was like real small fry.
Yeah.
And he really built it up to the point where they worked with like the army. And it's like, okay, so when the army needs rescuing, who's there? And
yes.
It's these guys, right?
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, this guy has done all this stuff. But obviously it's called Australia's Greatest Con Man.
Mm.
And so you know there's a story there.
It's going to go pear-shaped.
And it did. And it was basically just all based on lies. With having real people with real skills doing real good work, all amongst this mess. It's actually so interesting and one that you can really, really easily binge. And like I said, Mark Fennell, he's just, I find him really great to listen to. I love the production of this documentary as well. It's really cool. The experts that they've got and the people that were working with John at the time all there as well. So you get that firsthand experience on the documentary.
Yeah.
So it's on SBS On Demand. I really think that it's worth a watch. Australia's Greatest Con Man. Look, as far as easeability of watching and the story, I'm going to give this one a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
And you also get a closure rating, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. I just love some of the old fellas because it was in the 70s and 80s, so I don't remember this council. Like I'm an 82 baby, so I remember most things from the 80s, but I don't remember this, so I must not have been old enough to know.
I remember seeing, like, I can remember the footage of, like, the bright yellow planes and helicopters and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But this story is just wild and one that'll kind of grip you right from the start.
Yeah.
So go and watch it now on SBS On Demand.
All right. That is another one of these.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
All right, I have to make a formal apology because you know how fashion goes in cycles, okay? I didn't believe when this one was coming back. And I thought, no, this one's definitely not going to fit in that realm. But you know how thongs are in the shoes?
Yeah.
Thongs are in. Okay?
Are they? Did I start that? Remember before Christmas?
No, definitely
summer,
not.
I was
your
like asking
feet
about,
are terrible.
Remember I was asking about jeans and thongs? And yeah. You were like, yeah, it's got a vibe about it. And then maybe that was the start.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're the one that kicked it off. So there are different types of thongs. And let's just say the people behind Havaianas, I mean, well done, because you took over the landscape.
Well, they became the...
The thong.
The thong, yeah.
Right? Jimmy's a reef guy. And so I was always, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it?
It says what it does on the tin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the other ones, Archies. Okay. Now, Archies normally, in my mind, I thought were just for...
club feet.
The older generation. Mm. Okay, because they have support. Okay? And you can get them at like the pharmacy or, you know, health places and stuff like that. So my best friend Jess, she got Archies a couple of years ago.
Cool.
And I bagged her so hard that she stopped wearing them around me.
Therapeutic thongs.
Therapeutic thongs. Because I was like, what's that? Yeah. Oh, my God. Archies. Yeah. Lame.
That's your job. That was your job. You did exactly the right thing then.
Yeah,
that was exactly what you were supposed to do.
It. And then... a couple of weeks ago, she came to my house with a present and she's like, look at what I've got you. And I'm like, what? And they were Archies.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, absolutely not.
Have you lost another pair of thongs at Raff Beach?
No, because she's just like, you need to get on these. And I'm like, never, ever. I grew up with someone needing orthotics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I have plantar fasciitis right now and I'm currently in pain, but... I don't care.
You look cool.
Well,
you don't look cool, but you know.
You know, it's like helpful footwear. I'm done with those days. Yeah. I don't care anymore. Okay? I've had my time.
But you're also not doing the stilettos out at the club, are you, anymore? So
well, do you know what? I did on the weekend and damn, my legs are so sore. Anyway, whatever. So she got me the Archies and I was like, absolutely. I put them on and I'm like, oh. Wow, they're actually quite, all right. She did decide to get them for me in the colour taupe, which just added
What's the colour? I was going to ask, are they just a plain sort of...
Taupe, toilet roll cover, toilet roll, taupe, like, cardboard.
Like
taupe.
A light brown.
Like a, and I'm like, thanks for the colour choice, like a light brown grey, just to really stick it to me, right?
That's an interesting choice.
Wore them yesterday,
out
and about. My sister, younger sister who's into fashion, is like, oh, love the shoes. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
My top Archies are getting conversations going, mate.
Okay. You're on trend.
I have to apologise to Jess, my friend. I have to apologise to the Archies, the people, and the Archies community.
Why does everything that's like that come trendy? You know, like the therapy.
It's so good. They're so comfortable. I wish it was a paid presentation.
Yeah.
It's not. But I have to say, I'm sorry, Archies.
Mm.
Don't come for me with your... And you know you'll be quick because you have that support that you can run
you can
quickly
run
for
in,
me. And I can't run anywhere.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
But the Archies, 10 out of 10.
Are you going to do an ad like this?
This is a masseur called Sven.
Hello.
And this is a masseur called Masseur.
No, those ones are so painful.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to walk them in there back.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
The Jump with Brad Johnson. For Prestige, Jayco Geelong, your local Jayco dealer, open 7 days.
Yes, a big good morning to Tony, Deb and the team. We caught up with them on Friday at the launch of our K-Rock football beer.
A
big good morning to Brad Johnson as well. G'day, Jono.
Good morning, team. How are you?
We're great. Have you had one of our Geelong lagers yet?
I hunted everywhere at the game. And I couldn't see any.
Oh,
so
no, they
I'm
weren't at the game.
There you go. That's why I couldn't see any, Tom.
No, that's right. You can't come to us.
We've got a whole bunch of them here in the studio waiting for you.
Yeah,
on your seat here. We've got a 4-pack, but you never come in anymore, mate. What's the deal?
Well, you know what? you know what? I think we need to add them as a prize for the best and fairest, and then we'll then watch the the players will certainly connect with the set.
Yes, that is that is very engaging, very engaging. What are you doing this morning, mate? Before we get stuck into footy.
Well, this week I'm at Phillip Island. So last week I was at Winton, and this week I'm down at Phillip Island. So we've just arrived, and there's semi-trailers galore down here, and everyone's sort of starting to get set up for a big weekend. The GT4 sort of media setup happens over the next couple of days before their first round in a couple of weeks' time. So it's been a big couple of weeks getting set up for the season, but it's full steam ahead. Full steam ahead now, and there's some unbelievable cars here. It's going to be a pretty cool couple of days.
Nice.
Oh, make sure you do it full Western Suburb style and just put the foot down. Do a couple of doughies, mate, in my honour.
I would love to. Imagine me rolling around in a Ferrari GT3 car and how that would go.
Jono, football-wise, though, how them Catters. God, what a comeback.
That was an unbelievable comeback. Then you look at the character and the grit that they showed to get back into that game. And look, Fremantle were absolutely all over them in the first quarter. And it sort of went, oh, okay. Well, the Cats struggled in round zero, and it's sort of just starting to sort of flow on again in this game. And you expected them to fight back, but I thought Freo would have been good enough to hold that margin or at least go on to win the game. So it was an awesome victory by the Cats. And they had to respond after quarter time. There was obviously Chris Scott was quite animated, and he's really normally really sort of calm and controlled. But as the player said post game when we interviewed them, that he looked them in the eye and he gave them a direction that, you know, during the week we're going to have a good chat about this. And I think the players wanted to respond off the back of that, so they could at least walk past his office this morning and have a little bit of a smile on their face. So they'll deal with that start of the game. But ultimately, I think he'd be pretty happy that they're able to fight back as a group and claim victory.
It was an impressive performance. Do you know who else was impressive on the weekend? Were the Roos.
Oh, how good was that? Yes, that's a great call, Tom. They were fantastic. And look, Port Adelaide, new coach, and everyone thought, okay, well, where's North Melbourne going to be sort of this year? But they played some fluent footy. Their star players stood up and had excellent games of footy as well, especially through the midfield and set them up forward of the ball. So it was an awesome effort by North Melbourne to start the way that they have. They'll get full confidence out of that. And they just, when you win like that, you just put, you know, the opposition on notice a little bit to go, okay, when you play North Melbourne, it's not going to be as easy as what, you know, people thought. And I did West Coast Gold Coast last night, for example, and Gold Coast are going to be a long way off it this year with the age of their list and some of the young players that they've got in their lineup. So when you look at that, there is now a big gap between sort of North Melbourne will go on, you'd think, this year to win probably 8 to 10 games on yesterday's performance. So that's a big step forward for the footy club.
And how about those Bombers? Anyway, Jono, best and fairest is...
Bulldogs, you mean.
Oh, yeah, the Bulldogs. Nah, all right, we get it. You're good and you're back in form. That's great.
Good.
Look, your vest is out at Rebel Sport right now. The Xena Sports vest is protection for women playing sport. It's amazing. And that's why we do the...
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
So give us a 3-2-1, the best and fairest for the week.
Yes, let's go. I give one to Jeremy Cameron. I thought he was pretty good actually. He ended up with about 20 odd disposals and hit the scoreboard. So I'm going to give him a vote. I'm going to give two to Sean Manor, who actually got the Cats back into the game. He was in there, kicked three in a row.
Yeah.
He had a chance to kick four and a quarter, especially in that second term. So he was the one to get the Catters going. And three votes I give to big Shannon Neal.
Yes, huge.
The presence up forward. He was very good after a slow start. He got his game together and competed really well. And I thought he was excellent over three quarters of footy.
Excellent. All right. Well, I mean, we don't really need a leaderboard update, do we? Because we're only two games in. So,
and then a bye this week coming. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bye wins this week, so three votes to the bye, and that's the weird part about the season, isn't it? But I'm sure the Cats will be happy with a bit of a spell and reset to get going after that.
Yeah, all right, Jono. Well, all the best. You're not racing, but hopefully all the racing goes well and is safe and whatnot, and we'll catch up with you again next week, all right?
Yeah, in person, Tommy, I promise. Okay. I promise.
We'll take it personally. We were talking before about whether we take it personally or not. We will start taking it personally.
So even though the Cats are on a bye, you're definitely coming in?
Yeah, they're on a bye, so I'll make sure I come in.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, mate. All right.
All right. Thanks, team.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Maths is absolutely huge and it keeps getting bigger and better. And there's a reason why. Mainly this girl, Beck, who joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Beck.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, look, thanks for joining us. You are bringing the content, girl, whether it's with your relationship or with the other contestants. Last night was a big one on the commitment couch. You decided to open up to Danny, and this is what you said on the couch.
So describe your feelings for him. Beck, come clean.
My feelings are extremely, extremely strong for Daniel. Seriously, seriously strong. I love you.
Okay, so for those who don't know, he then pretended not to hear you and didn't say it back. Beck, how do you feel, A, in that moment, and how do you feel now listening back to that audio?
Yeah, look, like Stella knew that I was in love with Danny and Sam knew that I was in love with Danny. Stella was like, go tell him. And Sammy Stanton was like, do not say a word.
Oh, bless.
So, look, it wasn't going to come out at that point. But you know what? Like, that's how I felt. That's how I feel in that moment. And so I'm not going to backtrack on what I've done. I've said it, and I knew he wasn't going to say it back at that point. Like, I knew that his feelings weren't there, but that's how I was feeling. And you know what? Go for it. Like, that's what I'm there for. I'm there for love. There's been a lot of that drama, and I told him, and I'm happy I did.
I gave a Christmas card with two bears sitting in a love heart to a guy in grade four, and he just went, oh, and threw it away. Oh. And I've never forgotten that. So well done you for telling people to go for it, because I say absolutely not.
Do not.
Hide your feelings. Push them down. But look,
we
appreciated getting that from you on the couch. A great moment that, you know, we love to feel things through the TV. Secondhand embarrassment sometimes felt, but also, it was cooking last night, because Juliet and Gia seemed that they came for you. However, you have been saying quite a few naughty things. Now, last night, Juliet, over the retreat, called you, we can't even allude to what she called
you. Kids in the car at the moment.
Kids in the car situation, right? So she has been going at you at the retreat. She said quite a few horrible things. And what her remedy to sit on the couch was to be like, oh, Beck doesn't care about that type of language. She says it all the time. And she was referring to this message. So this is her on the couch and you trying to respond.
This is why I feel angry.
Because you've done the wrong thing and you constantly say, but.
You should be careful with how much you are upset about me saying that when I have screenshots of what you've said about Alyssa and David. It was vile. You said...
I mean, the bleeding. The bleeding's a bit full on.
Well, okay, the bleeding's full on. It sounds like the message was full on, though, Beck.
Yeah, so look, the message was written in week two, and I completely agree with you. Don't get me wrong, like, I don't condone the fact that I wrote that message, but I feel that there's a vast difference between sitting in someone's face. And what you didn't see at retreat is that Juliet said that to me about eight times, right? Over and over and over. Yeah, you didn't see that part. You saw it once. She said that to me eight times, right? To the point where Steve-O wasn't there, and he'd walked down and walked into it, and she was still saying that. There's a difference between coming at someone to their face and, you know, being aggressive and saying that, and then being angry, coming from a place of hurt and ego in a text message group in week two. And yep, I do use that language, and I did use that language, but at no point would I have come at Alyssa to her face and been like, you're right. I get it. I completely hold my hands up and know that I have written things. I also am in that point where, like, and I think that anyone and everyone can agree that your angry and upset and hurt. You would have seen in the messages which are online that, you know, fake Beck and Danny. I was being told that Alyssa was saying all of this stuff about me. Oh, and I was reacting, right?
Okay, yeah.
I was reacting. I was angry. But I also never, in the heat of the moment when I wrote that message, yep, it's wrong. I do not stand for what I've done. And Alyssa knows that. I spoke to her last night about it. I said to her, ring me and scream at me if you need.
Yeah.
And of course she doesn't want to. But you're also, when you're in that heat of the moment, anger, and you're coming from a place of hurt and ego, and you write something disgusting in a group where you think that these people are your friends, you never expect at your lowest moments like that, where you say something off the cuff and, you know, quickly, to then be screenshot and sent to every media outlet,
yeah,
to the person, to other people, to being sold. You know, you know, they've got money for these, my text messages now, you know, and you don't expect that to happen. I don't condone what I said. It was wrong and it was inappropriate. But at the same time, I never expected that in that vulnerable moment of hate and anger and ego that they would be shown to the whole world.
How come you didn't say sorry to Alyssa and Dave on the couch? Because obviously you were shocked that it came out. We saw your face. It was kind of like that, oh, God.
I did.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you did? But it wasn't like a, guys, you know, like what you told us was in depth, and it kind of, you know, makes sense. I mean, we've all, if any of our messages got leaked, Tom, we'd be in big trouble.
Oh, we'd almost never put it in writing.
Never do. But so did we not see this big apology? Because the apology was kind of like, oh, yeah, sorry, guys. Was there more to it?
Alyssa and I had already spoken, and we had, you know, done our mending and whatnot. We'd started our sort of mending of our friendship and whatnot prior to this. These were the same text messages that were brought up in week two, right?
So did she know what you said, though? Did she know that exact quote, that one that was beeped?
She didn't know the exact quote. Yeah. I had said to her, Alyssa, I've written some pretty bad stuff about you. I won't swear because there's kids.
I had said to her,
look, like, I've written some pretty bad stuff and I am so, so sorry. In that moment, I had said, I'm sorry. I had said to her, look, I'm really, really sorry. But also, while sitting on the couch with everyone around, you want to have those conversations in private as well, because you've got the cockatoo over the other side. I didn't know whether or not she would start coming. But then, like Gia said at the end of it, when you watched us all waiting for Joel to come back, you know, oh, let's not worry about it. Like, you know, they were from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because Gia had actually sent these messages to Juliet, right? Then she had known that Juliet had printed them out. But before we went into the commitment ceremony, when we were holding, right, she pulled me into the bathroom and she said, I just want you to know so you're not blindsided. Gia said to me, I just want you to know so you're not blindsided. Juliet's got text messages. I don't know why she's got them and she's printed them out, so I just want to warn you so you're not blindsided. Like, I am being pulled from left to right, to here to there. Like, what do you mean? Do you know what it, like, so you...
And then Gia left.
Yeah.
Juliet left, then Gia left. Crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Because Gia left because she had gotten a bit more of a grilling than you saw from the experts on the couch.
Yeah, okay.
And then also when Alyssa was like, this is unacceptable, rah, 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 I think Gia was like shivers, like what I've done is sent these text messages to throw Beck under the bus and to get everyone to hate Beck.
Yeah.
But then she's not thought, well, actually, my messages are in there.
Yeah.
And then now Juliet's got them.
Oh.
So Juliet sends them to Alyssa and to the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Juliet sends them around. You know, like, it's just not, you're not thinking before you're doing something, and all that's happening, right? You're trying to bring me down, you're trying to take me down, but you're hurting Alyssa.
Mm.
Yeah, they were hurt. You
Look,
could tell.
Beck, we've gone long. We have to wrap it up, but oh my God.
Sorry.
Don't apologize. We love it.
Incredible use of the word shivers too. Love it. Beautiful work, mate. Just really appreciate everything about you and your time this morning. It's back on our telly, 7:30 tonight. All the best with your journey to love, mate.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.